We try to be something. There's the power. Here's what I'm waiting on. It was my fault. I didn't turn the pack on. He's back to turn your mic on. Yeah. I got the Holy Ghost power, brother. I don't need this power. Kidding. We're real people. And it's easy for us to come together and not, we take ourselves too seriously. You know, we won't make jokes like that. And we come together in the church and just try to be something that we're not. And what we're trying to say in this series is that, man, this book, the whole Bible really, but Proverbs in such a beautiful way gets down to where we're living. And it says, listen, your relationship with God and your faith in Him has everything to do with the everyday moments of life. So paying the bills, watching the kids, going to work, going to class, all of those things. It's not divided. So you didn't get up this morning and walk here to turn the God switch on, and then you turn it off in an hour and a half when we leave. That's not what God has for us. There's so much joy, and there's so much life to be lived in Him. And so Proverbs is going to say, we can have wisdom to live life in light of who God is and what God has said. Ultimately, we believe as Christians that God has spoken to us ultimately through this word, that He has revealed Himself in Scripture. And so we can choose to live life that's contrary to Him, or we can choose to live our lives based upon and fueled by Him, what we know of Him. So what we've been doing over the last month, and we'll continue throughout the month of October, is we're saying we're pursuing wisdom as a faith family. Saying, God, make us into wise people. Don't let our faith be segmented. Like every aspect of my life, even the way I use my finances, even the way I see my sexuality, even the way I see, like we're talking about this morning, our words, all of it matter. And that there's something to be said here in God's word. And so we've been talking about this idea of wisdom and that we need it because we don't have it. And that ultimately it is in a fear of God. And so if you've been here throughout the whole series, I'm apologizing for what I'm about to do over the next 2 minutes because it seems redundant. But we need to understand the context of what we're going to talk about this morning because it's the way Proverbs lays out these issues. So if you're a guest with us, here's what we've been talking about. Is that your life is more, it's like a path. And so Proverbs, and really all throughout Scripture, but Proverbs in particular, is saying that there's two paths laid out before you. There's two paths. So based upon what you see about God and what He said, you're going to make decisions either against that, and if you make decisions against God and His revealed will, you are setting yourself down a trajectory. Every daily decision is setting you on a direction. So our decisions are not isolated from one another. They all matter. We're going to talk about specifically how that works today, but every step you take is taking you in a direction. And so we're saying that's folly. If you're taking steps away from who God is, it's setting you on a direction that's going to end in a destination, and that destination is death. Separation from God, separation from life. And we're saying if you want life, don't walk this way. Because wisdom says, I'm going to reorient the daily decisions that I make to where I'm taking steps, daily decisions, that's setting me in that direction that's going to end in a different destination, ultimately to know God. So our daily decisions has everything to do with our relationship with God. Everything. And how we experience this. And so it's the path of folly or the path of wisdom. And so what we've been doing in Proverbs is very difficult to go verse by verse, but it's typically what we would do. We're going to take in big topics out of this book and saying, what does God's word say about this? What's the path of folly and what's the path of wisdom as it relates to a particular topic? And so this morning we're talking about our ability to communicate the words that we use. You say, well, man, that's painfully practical. Do my words really matter? And we're saying that my words do matter. And so folly is saying that my words are just words. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words don't matter ultimately at the end of the day. It's folly. Wisdom says my ability to communicate is of incredible value, For me to be able to speak something to you right now and to make meaning with you. So that I use symbols. And those symbols are letting you have the same mental picture in your mind that I have in my mind. Like the ability for us as human beings to do that is remarkable that God's given us. It's not just a cool thing that we have as humans to be able to communicate like that with one another and to share life and human experience. That's cool. But Proverbs is going to take it a step further. And it's going to really weight our words. I want us to read Proverbs 18:21. And so there's a Bible underneath your seat if you don't have one. That's also our gift to you if you don't have a copy of God's Word. But it might be difficult for you to follow along in your hand because we're going to like hit a ton of verses this morning. So all the words will be on the screen, okay? So maybe it's easier for you to follow along up there. But Proverbs 18:21, I want us to notice what it says here. There's two paths that Proverbs lays out for us this morning, okay? Let's read it together. It says, death and life are found where? In the power of the tongue. All right? Not just the little muscle that you find in your mouth, but it means in the words that you speak. You use your tongue to formulate words. And so death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So Solomon's saying to us that you and your words has the power to either create death or to create life. Will we be in agreement? Well, that's what the text is saying to us. It has power to create death or create life. So when you speak, you are creating something. It matters. There's no such thing as idle words. They matter. And so it's almost this idea, do we really believe that the power of the tongue, that you can literally, your words can produce death? Death. And that you can also use words to build people up. And so it's like this. This is what's true of you. One or the other is true, and this is true of me. That because of my words, it can be said of me that my words help build one another up. Like when you're around me, you're just built up. You can use your words to speak encouragement, or you can use words to tear someone down. You can. You can use words of positivity or just being negative all the time. Words that glorify God or words that don't. You have the power to cause life or to tear it down just by using words. Just by using words. So here's the question. Every word that you speak, it's either like taking a sip of vitamins and protein, right? Sunny D. It builds you up. That's what protein does. It builds up the muscles. It creates something of health. So are your words more like Sunny D? That's going to stick, and I don't want it to stick, but it's going to be there. Does your words build someone up? Is it like protein? Or is being around you like taking little sips of poison? It's tearing people down. One sip, that's not that big a deal, but ultimately it's just causing your body to decompose inside because you're drinking poison. Like, do we see the weight of what we say? Because it says the power to create life and the power to create death is held in the way you use your words. Are you building people up or are you tearing people down? And I'm going to be honest, this was one of the most, so far in Proverbs, this is the one that has kind of beat me around the most. Because if you guys know me, I talk a lot, okay? And I mean, this is a big thing for me. Like, I'm just going to say, everything I'm saying from this point on is not out of, you should be like me. But it's like, don't be like me. Let's pursue wisdom. Like, I hope every sermon that I preach is out of that attitude, and I hope it is. But this one, probably more than ever, because the Holy Spirit has really convicted me about a lot of things in my life, studying for this. And so you still, me saying this, you may go, man, I just don't believe you, bro. Like, okay, I know that's what it says, but really, like, my tongue, like, the words that I speak, it's going to cause death in someone's life. Like, I still think you're over-exaggerating a little bit. And I was going to use an example of, and we've all seen it, of, like, politicians or sports figures or, like, broadcasters that say one statement and the internet goes ablaze, right? Have you seen those? Like, they say one really stupid thing or, like, a racist slur, and everybody's just going crazy. This means yes, right? We've seen that. One statement can just really do a lot of damage. Politicians can say one word and war break out. I mean, it's the power of words. The words are powerful, but that's not true of most of us. You know? Like you're saying, one statement is not going to change the trajectory for humankind. You know, like I don't have that kind of power. Like I can tweet something and like the internet's not going to be all upset about it tomorrow. Like I'm not that big of a deal. My words don't matter to me. So, okay, yeah, we can look at that and say, silly politicians. You know, we're silly celebrities. But what we could do is maybe after this week of pulling up your tweets or your Facebook posts and just put them up there, you know, just put them up and see if it's wisdom or folly. Or walk around with a microphone and recording everything you said this week. And what if we threw it up there and say, is this wise? Is this foolish? Was these words the most beneficial? Were they the most glorifying to God? And that changes things a little bit when we see that. But none of us are looking at a single statement and saying it has the power to change life. Like no one's saying, oh, you're dying. Don't! And like they don't die. You know, like it's not like that. It's not like that for many of us. One statement is not going to do that. But here's what we do. We're just shelling out ones in our life. Now, one statement doesn't matter, really. But you just keep saying words. You keep having conversations. You keep cutting those people down, people saying those inappropriate jokes, and it just keeps shelling out ones. And over time, I'm going to keep doing this, and it's going to add up to tens, to hundreds, thousands, millions, right? It's going to keep piling. And so, yeah, maybe one statement is not going to change everything. It has the power to. But that's not how most of our lives work. But individual statements here, a word there, a conversation there, setting you on a trajectory of your life. And Proverbs is going to say, at the end, if we looked at all of your life, the sum total of your words, is it building people up or is it tearing people down? Is it getting glory to God or is it getting glory to yourself? This is the nature of what we see. And so like we said, wisdom is like a path. It's more like a path. So each step or each word is setting you on a direction. It wouldn't be a sermon on the way we use our words if I didn't read James 3, right? I'm going to read this to us just to kind of have a right hook to this idea that your words do matter. They are important. Okay, let me read this to you. James 3, verse 3. He's talking about the imagery of the way we use our words. Notice how he says this. He says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by so strong of winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the way of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Now, we don't have time to unpack all this, but basically, like, this big, powerful stallion, you put that little bit in its mouth, and you have the power to control that big, powerful beast. A rudder on the back of a ship, although it's small, it's a lot smaller than the whole ship, it has the power to manipulate the currents to move that ship around. It's important. So also, our tongue, although small, and though our words seem insignificant, it has the power to move all of us. It's the imagery that James is writing for us. He keeps on going. He says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. You know what that means? One match is all it takes to cause, you know, catastrophe. None of us are saying, oh, my couch cushion's on fire. Nah, it's just a cushion, right? Because, you know, yeah, the cushion might not be a big deal, but if it stays on fire, it's going to move to the couch, it's going to move to the walls and on the floor, and eventually your whole house is going to be consumed. It may start small, but the end result is catastrophic if you don't put it out. That's what it says. So, the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body. So, the words you speak is ultimately affecting all of you. And it's setting on fire the entire, notice this, the course of life. Sound familiar? Proverbs is more like a path. Wisdom is a path. There's a course to this life that we're walking down. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. So, we have power to do a lot of cool things in our life, but verse 8, no human being can tame the tongue. I love that picture. It's just wild. It's untamable. It is a restless evil. Notice this word, full of deadly poison. So James is agreeing with the writer of Proverbs and saying, your words have weight. your words can be full of deadly poison. It can cause death. With it, with that tongue, with our words, we bless our Lord and Father. That's one path. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Path of folly. From the same mouth come blessing, one path, and cursing. Notice what he says. Notice the logic that James gets to. He says, my brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. You know the point is? He's saying, if you're using insignificant words, if you're choosing words that are inconsistent with God and how he's revealed himself, it's not consistent with who you say you are in Christ. He's saying, these things ought not to be so, because does a spring pour forth this kind of water? Well, no. So if your heart is transformed by Jesus, your words should be changing as well. Should be changing as well. If we've been made new inwardly, what flows out from our lips ought not to be unclean. It's the logic that James is using. All right, so that's the two paths. Our words matter. They have the power of life and death are in the tongue. So what? What do we do? What's wisdom have to say about the way we use our words? And Proverbs has a ton to say about this. And we're just going to hit a 30,000 feet level and run really quickly. But I've tried to kind of compile this with a statement. All right, that kind of defines wise speech. So if we're going to use our words that glorify God and give glory to him and walk this path of wisdom with our words, we're going to use this statement. So wise speech equals this: the right message at the right time in the right way. So if I'm going to be using my words in a way that is wise, okay, in light of who God is and what he said, it's going to be the right message, the right time, and the right way. We'll take each of those and we'll be done, okay? So wisdom principle number uno. Wisdom speaks the right message. It speaks the right message. So first idea, speak what is true. Speak what is true. So what's the right message? It's truth. We're speaking truth to one another. So let me read this to you if you don't believe me. Proverbs 8, verse 6. The words will be on the screen. It says, hear, for I will speak, notice this, noble things. And from my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I'm not going to do that. I'm speaking truth. All, not just some, not when people are listening, not when you're at church, but all the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. They're all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. All right. What is it saying? Speak truth. Be a truth speaker. It's always right to do what's right. That's what he's saying. That there is such thing as truth. And so let me just pause right here and speak to some of you that may not know Jesus, or you're here kind of questioning all of this. And let me just say something to you. As Christians, we believe there is such thing as absolute truth. That God has spoken. It's not all relative. It's not just true for you and not true for me. That there's a truth and it exists outside of us. It's in what God has said. And we believe that God, if God can like speak the world into existence, he can get the book right. Okay? And so God has spoken to us here. He defines what is true. So truth flows from his character. God is true. He's right altogether. And what he speaks is true. And so we have to realign our whole lives based upon what God has said to us. So there is such thing as truth. There is. And so when we talk about being wise, we're not talking about sharing your opinions or what the world says or what seems convenient to us. We're saying if we're going to be wise truth speakers, if we're going to be wise people with our words, it must begin first with speaking the right message. We must be people who speak truth. Who speak truth. So if that's true, do you know God's word? Do you? Like, do you really know it? Are you hungry for it? Have you been in it this week? Not because God loves you more or less if you do or don't. That's not the point. God loves you perfectly because of Christ. But in light of that, pursue him. Man, open up this book and chase after him. Have right thoughts. Change the way we think. We need that so desperately. Do you know God's word? Do you see the world and every situation through this lens of truth? Do you see it? So the Bible calls it like a biblical worldview. Like, is the way you see everything changed? Because if you want to live a wise life, that's the remedy. That's it. To know God's word and to hide it in your heart that we might not sin against God, we need to see the world differently. And then so speak true things to one another. It's the goal of your life, is to speak the truth of God's word to other people. It's what evangelism is speaking the gospel, the truth of God, and how we can know him to people who don't know him. We speak it. The gospel is not just living a good life in front of people. We must eventually articulate the gospel. But discipleship, that's what it is. It's speaking the word of God to one another. That's what Christian community is. It's to say, I'm a person that just speaks life everywhere I go. I'm speaking truth into every situation that I'm into. That's wise. That is what people need, is they need truth. And you have it. So do you know it? Are you hungry for it? Is that truth changing you? And are you seeing yourself as a mouthpiece of God? 2 Corinthians 5 is saying to us that God is making his appeal through us. What if that's the purpose of church? Because like, you can study this on your own. You don't need to come here to do that. But we say there's something about learning in community like this. It's because you need other people. You need to get your mind off of all of this and on to truth. And God uses people to do that. That's why we need the church. That's why we need one another. And so, are you a truth speaker? Are the words you say is true? And so when you give someone truth, you give them the ability to see reality. It's saying, you're out of reality right now. Humbly, let me tell you, this is what God's word says. This is what you need. Being truth speakers. So we pull out of the spiritual world for a second. That's true in all of life. Like, if I got something nasty in my teeth, like, you're a good friend, you're like, bro, you got something all up in you, right? Because that truth tells me about reality, and I want to know that. I want to know that. And although that's a very silly example, very silly, it's true. I mean, there's areas in our life where we're walking down this path of folly, and so wise speech is saying, I see my life as an agent of truth speaking. Speaking truth in the lives of other people. Next idea about this is speaking the right thing is not always the easiest thing. It's not always the easiest thing. Proverbs 24 says this, verse 24, whoever says to the wicked, you are in the right, will be cursed by peoples. Notice that, cursed. So whoever says to the wicked, you're not wicked, you're okay, aka speaking falsehood, not speaking truth. He says, you'll be cursed by people, abhorred by nations. That's big language there. But notice the contrast, notice the other path. But those who rebuke the wicked, so saying true things to people who are walking down a path of folly, will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. Notice 26, whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Just give an honest word. If you're a truth speaker, it's giving life to people. It's giving life to people. So if you're here, you say, man, that's why I don't like church. They're always telling me what to do. And we're not telling you what to do because we've figured something out that you haven't. I mean, we're under the authority of God's word. But if we really love one another, we're going to say we're about each other's good. And we're going to speak truth into each other's life. We have to. So speaking truth sometimes means saying things that are not easy to say. Sometimes it's looking at people and it's not going to be received very well. It's saying things that are countercultural. It's not just coasting through relationships, but to speak truth. So are you bold enough and loving enough, and I hate to even use this expression, but to call people out, but to speak true things into their life when you see inconsistencies? That's why we have life groups. It's not because it's a program, it's what we're supposed to do, it's because we acknowledge this. We need other people. I need you to speak into my life. I need you to tell me where I'm missing it. I need you to remind me of God's word. Be like, bro, you're worrying right now. And you know what God's word says about that? Like, I feel with you now, but let me tell you what truth says. Let me pull your gaze off of this situation. That's what the church is. That's why you need other people. That's why we need each other. So are you loving and bold enough to speak truth to someone else? Now flip that around. Are you humble enough to receive it? To say, man, step on my toes. Like, I give you permission to tell me what's true. Because I need it. I have blind spots. You know, like driving down the road, you may not see the car. We all have those areas in our lives. That's why we need the church. Are you humble enough to receive it? Or when somebody comes at you in this spirit, And we're going to talk more about how they come at in a minute. But to speak true things, are you just, man, get up off me, right? Like, this is not your place. But in the church, we're saying it is our place. If you'll submit, it's mutual submission. That's why we need one another. All right. Man, all right, we can go, keep going to that, but I'm going to move on. Proverbs 27:5 says this, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Notice that, the wounds of a friend. So sometimes being faithful and being a friend means that it might cause some wounds. It's going to hurt. So like if you break your bone, I got to set it back, and it's going to hurt like the Dickens, right, at first. The Dickens? What in the world? But it's going to hurt a lot. It's going to hurt a lot, but it's for your good. And eventually that bone's going to grow back more solid, and there's going to be times that you're going to look back and say, thank you for hurting me. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You know what it says? It's better to hold the truth out openly and maybe cause a wound that's temporary than to hide the truth and be told whatever you want. That's the kisses of the enemy. Oh, they're kissing on you, man. It seems like it's not wounding me, but they're really an enemy. They're not a friend. So somebody just tells you everything you want to hear, you go to that person, you don't want to, you avoid, some people are going to tell you the truth, but you run to that friend that's going to be like, oh, you're the best, you know, all the time. Are they really a friend? That's what Proverbs is saying. You need truth in your life. All right. Proverbs 12, verse 17, notice it keeps going. It says, we're going to jump around 17, 19, and 22, okay, it'll be on the screen. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Did you catch that? To lie is to be an abomination to the Lord. Man, that's big. Folly is lying, to say, I'm not going to speak the truth. And so to speak the truth, he says this word, it gives honest evidence. Do you know what that means? Here's the way we can lie to ourselves and lie to other people. Is to say, I'm going to withhold true things from you. That's lying. Or I'm actually going to actually speak words that are contrary to the truth. So both are deceptive. To say, I'm not going to say true things is deceptive. Or to say, I'm actually going to willfully say wrong things to you. Are you doing that? Are you a truth speaker? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Is that true of you? Are we deceiving ourselves and so by deceiving other people? Do you love other people to tell them the truth? And will you tell the truth to your own life? And get into God's word, not just read it as some academic exercise or to check it off in the mornings, but to say, God, I'm submitting myself underneath truth today. Convict me. Show me where I'm off. I surrender to it. And not just personally, but also corporately. Will we do that for one another? I want us to be that kind of people. I invite you to do that into me. If you see me doing something stupid, come tell me. Like, say, man, you're missing it. You're missing it. All right, wisdom principle number two. Wisdom speaks at the right time. Speaks at the right time. So wisdom is not just concerned about saying right things. Because you know this, you can say right things. You can say something that's absolutely truthful, and it's at the wrong time. And that's unwise. It's unwise. Let's read some passages. This one right here might be the most favorite proverb of some of you that we've read so far. Notice what it says. It's kind of funny. Proverbs 27:14. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, when I'm trying to sleep, don't come at me all loud, right? Like, if it's early, get up away from me. Can I get a witness? No? Okay. But like, that's whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. So don't come in me when I'm trying to get my beauty sleep at 6 o'clock, trying to talk to me. That's not what it really means, by the way. It's not saying don't have conversations early in the morning. Here's the principle that Solomon's getting at. There's a right time to say things. So someone's all trying to sleep early in the morning, you can be saying all the blessings you want to them, saying true things, but it's counted as cursing. Don't be that guy. And so for me, it's like, don't talk to me if I hadn't had my coffee. Like, if you smell coffee breath, then it's good for us to do this, you know? If I hadn't had my coffee, you better just get away until I've had, ask my wife, she'll tell you. In the morning, like, Derek, if you had your coffee, you're grumpy. I'm sorry, yes. Where's my Keurig? For Kayla, it's the other thing. It's late at night. It's like, I mean, she like gets all weird. It's like talking about groceries. Like, I need to buy eggs. I'm like, Kayla, it's eggs. Like, chill out, you know? Like, at night, she just gets all distorted reality, and she's not herself. So I know that for me, it's not wise to have a conversation with my wife after 9 p.m. Like, it's not going to be good. Like, I mean, it's going to be weird, actually. She's not in here. She's helping with the kids, so I can talk about her like this. Don't tell her I've been talking about her. There's a right time to say things. And so the first part of our marriage, I didn't get that. And so every night, I'm trying to talk to her. And it was not good because, I mean, she's like all emotional and I'm all angry and whatever because it wasn't the right time. We were saying right things. Those conversations need to be had. But for her, that was a terrible timing. Terrible timing. There's a right time to say things. Keep reading. Proverbs 25:20 says this. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. What in the world? Here's what it means. Singing songs to a heavy heart, there's a wrong time to say true things. Like at a funeral, probably the best thing to say is not, you know, Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good and there's a greater purpose. Like they're hurting right now. It's a right truth. And that sovereignty of God in the midst of suffering and loss is a beautiful truth that'll get you through those moments. But there's a right time to say that. And it's probably not by the casket when they're just struggling, hurt with them. You know? You can say right things, but do it at the right time. Do it at the right time. All right. So every situation, is this the best time to say this right thing? I don't know. Let's ask. Proverbs 25:11 says this, a word fitly spoken. So spoken in the right moment. It's like apples of gold in a setting of silver. It's beautiful, is the point. Have you ever been around somebody like that that always knows what to say? You know? And not in that arrogant way, but just like really knows what to say all the time. You're like, man, I just love you. Like, no matter what I'm going through, I can come to you and you're just going to speak wisdom in my life the way I need it. You've seen those people? It really is beautiful. It really is beautiful. The adverse is also true. Somebody that doesn't do that, right? They just say all maybe the right things, but in all the wrong times. You're like, dude, I just hate you. Like, you're a terrible person. Because it's not beautiful. It's not beautiful. So speak the right time. So here's when is not the right time, usually. Throw this up on the screen. The right time is usually not right when you think something. Okay, don't be reactionary. Here's what Proverbs says about this. So the right time is probably not right when you have a thought. Think it through, all right? Proverbs 29:11, a fool, so this fool, gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. So no self-control, just saying whatever comes to your mind. He gives full vent. I mean, it's all coming out. So it's probably never wise to just react in the moment. Probably never the right time. Wisdom says, chill, right? Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Who knows that guy, right? He says, I don't care about understanding and knowing you and where you're coming from. I just want to express my opinion. I just want to win this argument right now. That's all I'm after. So we're more concerned about being right than actually walking in wisdom and having a relationship. You want to win an argument, not win a person. It's that guy. So don't be that guy. Proverbs 10:19 says this, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. You know what it means? The more you speak, the more you're accountable. Jesus says the same thing. Matthew 12, Jesus would tell this to us. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Choose your words carefully. They matter. They matter. Proverbs 17:27-28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. I love this verse here. It's so cool. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. You know what that means? Like, if you're an idiot, just keep your mouth shut. Nobody will know. I mean, that's kind of what it's saying. It's like, oh, he's mysterious, you know? It's like, but no, you're a fool. But when you open your mouth, you remove all doubt, right? Proverbs is saying it's better to not say anything at all than to open your mouth and to prove that you actually are a fool. Love Proverbs. James 1 would tell us, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. Notice that. I'm listening, slow to speak, I'm restraining my words, speaking at the right time, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So listen more than you talk. That's a pretty good wisdom principle. You say, well, if I talk a lot, am I a sinner? Well, I hope not, because I'm a talker. But you know what the wisdom is for me here? That I probably should listen far more than I'm speaking to you. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. Heard the old adage, he gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? It'll catch. Two ears, one mouth, listen more than you. People, wake up, my goodness. That was a good one. It wasn't a good one. All right. Listen more than you talk. So get this. Don't be so prideful to have to get the last word. Don't be so quick to just jump to conclusions that you miss what people are saying to you. Listen. Have a conversation. It's two ways, not one way. And lastly, we'll move this wisdom very quickly. Wisdom principle number three. Wisdom speaks in the right ways. So you can either say the right thing, and you can say it in the right time, but you can still be unwise if you're not doing it in the right way. So remember how we began? Wise words give life. They give life. So wisdom is not just about saying the right things and waiting for the best times, but we have to say it in the right way. The right way. So that we're giving life. So the goal is not to wound people. Some people know that you can use your words just to win the argument, to cut people down. So the goal is not to wound, and the goal is not to win. It's not just to win an argument. But here's what the goal should be, is to give life. It's the analogy of a knife. Like if I pull a knife out, all right, get all creeper on you, okay? A knife can be used for evil, to bring death. So a knife in the hand of a murderer is a very bad thing because he has an intent to kill. A knife in the hand of a kid, there's a reason why you don't give toddlers like machetes, right? Now, they may not have evil intent, but they're naive and they're gullible and they don't know how to use it. So they're going to cause damage. That same knife put into the hand of a responsible surgeon who knows how to use it can use that same instrument that could be used for death to give life. Because I use it in a particular way and I know how to use it. I don't use it to hurt people. I use it to bring life. Your words can be that. You can kill people down or you can give them life. Proverbs 15:1, most of us have heard this. If we grew up in church, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So you have a choice. You can use your words in a timely manner that's soft or harsh. You can just be that arrogant and just want to yell and say right things. You may have even thought it through and said it at the right time. I mean, you just come at somebody all arrogant and just prideful. It's like, man, the way you say things is almost just as important as what you say and when you say it. Proverbs 11:12-13 says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. You know the principle is, one of the right ways we can talk to one another is to never do it out in public. Like, don't call somebody out in front of other people. I think it's kind of what it's saying there. It's like you have the power, if you use your words correctly, to give life, but if you just want to be that guy to make a point, if you're gossiping, saying words that's going to tear people down out in public, man, what's the point in that? It may be right, and you may have thought it through, but it's not in the right way. Get this. No one ever, and we're about finished, no one ever goes out to plant a dead church, right? Think about this. No one's like, hey, man, let's plant a church where, like, the power of God's not moving, you know, and lives aren't being changed. Are you in for that? And they're like, yeah, man, let's do it. Like, nobody. Instead, they all start out preaching the word and seeing people change. It's what we want to see happen here. But you know what happens? There's churches all around this city, and I say this very humbly, but there's very little life in them. Very little life. Churches all over this world. That's true. How did that happen? And it probably wasn't one statement that made the church crumble. It wasn't like, die, church, and the church just, you know, died. It wasn't one statement, but it was little statements over, hey, did you hear that? I didn't like his message today. It really bothers me that he doesn't shave, you know? Or, I don't like that person. Why is she always volunteering for that thing? I don't want to be there because she's serving back there. I'm not going to serve. I don't like her. Or it's, man, the music, man, Mel, she does that thing and I don't like that thing, you know? And it's like, and it's little words like that. It's little words that will ruin the culture of a church and ultimately cause the demise, division. What would it be like if somebody came up to you to talk badly about someone And I want to do the same thing in my life. And you say, hey, have you talked to that person? Have you talked to them yet? Like, instead, this conversation is over. Like, it's just gossip in this moment. Like, go talk to them. Go talk to them. And to preserve unity, because your word has the power to have disunity. And it's not just about this church, but it's about the kingdom of God, man, the body of Christ. Your words have power. They have power. Say it the right thing in the right time in the right way. All right? And ultimately, how do we do this? Well, there's a couple things. Number one, know the word. Listen to the word of God. Be that kind of guy that follows the Lord. Listen to the word in community. Follow wise counsel and have people speak into you. That's how we get out of this. But lastly, here's what I want to say. It's not just about buckling down and trying harder. Okay? Because the word of flesh made among us. Notice this. It says in Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. It makes a connection between the tongue and the heart. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if our words are all messed up, it's ultimately a heart problem. It's ultimately a heart problem. And so we need to come around the word made flesh, that Jesus came and he's spoken to us. He's revealed himself to us. He communicated with us in the gospel to say, I came to make you new. Came to make you new. So maybe we be that kind of people who use our words to glorify God, not tear people down. All right, so bow with me. We're going to sing very quickly a song of response to the Lord. And if you're like me, this is a very convicting topic. It's painfully practical that our sin runs so much deeper than just some arbitrary idea. But even down to the words we speak is ultimately a reflection of our hearts. That because we've rebelled against God, now our words are all messed up. And we use our words to give death. But if we know Jesus, we can use our words to give life. God's given us such a gift as people to communicate to one another. And so how are your words? How are your words? Do you know Jesus and do you have a heart that's transformed by him? And out of that, does your mouth reflect that? God cares about the way we talk. You know, he does. And so maybe we be known as a people who speak truthful things, but do so in a way that's out of love. Like, we're not evangelists and making disciples because we think we've got it all figured out. We do it out of humility and say, man, this is the gospel. I say it in the right way. So you know what? If you're talking to your unbelieving friends and speaking truth to them, you should do it with tears. And not in this arrogant way, but do it in tears. That's what it means. Maybe we be that kind of people. And so whatever the Holy Spirit needs to do this morning, may he do it. As we sing this song, Lord, take my life.